Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will talk with child and adult psychiatrist Dr. Gerald Jampolsky and his wife, psychotherapist Dr. Diane Cerincione. Dr. Jampolsky is the author of the book Forgiveness, the Greatest Healer of All. We will discuss how the power of forgiveness can contribute to your health and longevity. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Here's a new study showing that eating more tomatoes daily could make you healthier, protect your skin from sun damage, and lower your risk of modern diseases, according to a review of more than 100 studies. Now, a large body of evidence already links the consumption of tomatoes and tomato products with lower rates of cancer, especially prostate cancer. But a recent review published in the American Journal of Lifestyle Medicine highlights potential new selling points for this luscious red fruit: better skin, bone, and brain health. The tomato provides star nutrients such as vitamin C, vitamin A in the form of beta carotene. It includes fiber and potassium. But it's a uniquely high offering of lycopene and other such phytonutrients that makes it a superfood. Tomato is the richest source of lycopene in the Western diet. And lycopene is a strong antioxidant with a potency many times greater than vitamin E. Now, while tomatoes and tomato products also provide anti-inflammatory and anti-blood clotting effects, as they are nature's capsules of multiple active ingredients. In studies of prostate cancer patients, peak blood concentrations were attained within 3 months of taking lycopene supplements, reaching a plateau that did not differ significantly among the doses between 15 to 90 milligrams per day. Now, while earlier studies focused on lycopene supplements, recent evidence shows that it's best to use the whole tomato and a 15 milligram daily dose of lycopene. That's probably what you should really aim for. Now, taking that into account, how much lycopene is obtained from different types of foods if you're trying to get 15 milligrams of lycopene in your diet? Well, a quarter cup of tomato paste contains 18.8 milligrams of lycopene. Spaghetti sauce, if you have a half a cup of that, would include 15.8 milligrams of lycopene. Tomato soup, a cup of tomato soup, would be 13 milligrams of lycopene. And a half cup of tomato juice is 11 milligrams of lycopene. When you look at stewed tomatoes, a half a cup of those have 5.2 milligrams of lycopene. 1 tablespoon of ketchup has 2.5 milligrams, and 1 half cup of raw tomatoes has 2.3 milligrams of lycopene. Processing tomatoes and cooking them with a little bit of oil helps increase the absorption of lycopene and other carotenoids into the body. So getting lycopene is important, and make sure to eat a wide variety of vegetables, especially dark green and red and orange vegetables and beans and peas. These are key recommendations in the new U.S. dietary guidelines. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word. healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, I've heard that optimists are healthier than pessimists. Is that true? Well, you know, research on that subject is very fascinating and does suggest that positive thinking can enhance health. Pessimism has been linked to a higher risk of dying before the age of 65, while positive emotions such as optimism are associated with lower production of the stress hormone cortisol. It's also associated with better immune function and reduced risk of chronic diseases. In fact, the journal Psychosomatic Medicine published results of a study showing that optimistic men had less than half the risk of heart disease than pessimistic men. Earlier studies have found that among patients recovering from coronary artery bypass graft surgery, those with a positive outlook recovered faster and were less likely to be rehospitalized for post-surgical complications or other heart problems. Now, in these studies, the researchers separated out optimism from other factors that could have affected the outcomes, such as depression, for example. The researchers explained that pessimists blame themselves when bad things happen. They see good events as transitory and negative ones as lasting. Because they expect bad things to happen, they feel hopeless about changing the future. Optimists are much more likely to explain bad events as due to some temporary external cause and tend to have a generally positive view of life and their ability to affect their futures. Well, all this health research supports what my old friend, the late Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, said many years ago when he wrote his classic book, The Power of Positive Thinking.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl discusses vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Our special guest today is Dr. Gerald Jampolsky, MD. He is a child and adult psychiatrist. He's a graduate of Stanford Medical School. And in 1975, he founded the first Center for Attitudinal Healing, now a worldwide network with independent centers in over 30 countries. He is an internationally recognized authority in the fields of psychiatry, health, business, and education. And Dr. Jampolsky has written several books, including the book Forgiveness, the Greatest Healer of All. And that's going to be our topic today. And his wife is also joined with us today, and she's a psychotherapist and author, Diane Cerencioni. She has worked in 49 countries along with Dr. Jampolsky, and currently both of them reside in both Northern California and in Hawaii. And hello, Dr. Jampolsky and Diane.
Hello, and aloha.
And aloha. Aloha. Now, we're talking today from your residence. Are you up in Sausalito, California today?
We are, yes.
Well, very good. And, you know, I just have to tell everyone that both Jerry and Diane have been longtime friends and colleagues of mine. We worked extensively together, actually in establishing a medical center-based Center for Attitudinal Healing when I worked over there in Castle Medical Center in Kailua, Hawaii, over on Oahu. And we had some great times together, didn't we?
We certainly did.
We certainly did, yeah.
Well, you know, today we're going to talk about forgiveness. This program is called All About Health and Longevity is our theme each week on the program. And forgiveness plays a major role in that, I believe. And I want to talk to you about forgiveness because you are both of you are leading authorities in that whole field. And that's what your life work is really all about in attitudinal healing. First of all, let's talk about forgiveness. How do you define the word forgiveness?
Well, for me, forgiveness is letting go of the hurtful past. And what that means, in our way of looking at forgiveness, is that it's not meaning that we're condoning or agreeing with a certain act, but we're realizing that when we hold on to unforgiving thoughts, when we hold on to grievances, it eats up ourself inside, and it causes many of the medical problems that we have. There's much scientific evidence today that shows that lack of forgiveness plays a big role in illnesses today, whether they're organic or not. And that when we find the value in forgiving, beautiful things begin to happen. And the main one is happiness and peace.
Yes.
I would add to that that forgiveness is, I think, ultimately the gift that we give to ourselves of releasing ourselves from the judgments and grievances we hold against another person. Someone defined it once about holding on to a grievance is like taking poison but expecting someone else to die.
That's a classic statement both of you have said over the years. Not forgiving, now I want everyone to hear this, not forgiving is like you drinking a glass of poison and hoping the other person dies.
Right, or expecting the other person to die and not realizing the damage emotionally, psychically, physically, and especially spiritually that unforgiving thoughts and our judgments have, or the toll it takes upon ourselves. But the ego personality self wants us to believe it's the other person that's suffering. So that, one of the reasons we don't forgive, there are many reasons, but is that it has to have a certain form and we have to come together in a reconciliation. And if it doesn't look like that, it's not forgiveness, but we look at that differently. We know that the ego will never forgive, and I think that it takes going to that higher power in your life in order to be able to ask for the grace to be able to forgive. You have to make that choice, and then you are helped with that.
And when we don't forgive, it's another way that the ego has of separating ourselves from our higher power, God, whatever word you might want to use for that. And so the ego would like to see value in not forgiving. So it says, well, if I forgive that person, he'll just keep on doing it or doing it again. And forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with changing the other person. Attitude healing has all to do with realizing it's only our own thoughts and attitudes that hurt us. And unforgiving thoughts are the top of the list.
So, like, we don't see forgiveness as having a form. We see forgiveness as an internal experience that we have. And then we ask for that grace and guidance. What do I need to think, say, and do in this situation after I've let go of my grievances and my judgments about the other person? And that might be a similar action. It might be to stop the other person's action. It might be to take court action. It might be whatever it is. And so it's not that forgiveness doesn't dictate what we do. It dictates the consciousness that we have when we make that choice.
Well, you know, and this kind of might be going back to some of the other things you just said, you know, it's very, you know, knowing how forgiveness can be so beneficial to each of us, and it's really hard for people to forgive. Why do so many people not forgive? Why do people live lives where they just continue to blame other people?
Because they have a belief. It's all based on belief system.
Okay.
And when people have a belief system that some people do things that are unforgivable, then that's what they're going to do. If they have a belief system that person deserves my lack of love and deserves my anger, then they'll do that. But when we realize, when we become aware that we're actually hurting ourselves and the ego mind, the ego fearful mind is deceiving us, and that there is great value in forgiving, and it has nothing to do with what happens to the other person. It's about healing our own mind, and as each of us heal our own mind, and purify our minds and becoming agents of love and peace. That's how people begin to change the world that we see. The world begins to change because minds are joined and we give unconditional love. Everyone gets to receive that.
One of the primary aspects around that is that, you know, we think, well, gosh, if we know that forgiveness is so good for us and releases us, why don't we all do it?
Right.
And because we don't do it, because at some core level we see value of holding on to the grievance. And when someone says, oh, no, there's absolutely no value at all, well, ultimately then the underlying value is that at a core level most people really don't believe they deserve the right to be happy. And therefore they create situations in their lives that where they continue to suffer, and whether physically or mentally, emotionally. And one of those is by not forgiving, because they continue to suffer. Not forgiving is a way to suffer. Many times we'll hear people say, oh, it's so hard to forgive. And we say, yeah, but it's so much harder not to forgive.
Right. Well, you know, some people, Sometimes they challenge, when I talk to the people about this, is they challenge you with the ideas, you know, this person's done so many bad things. They've done, there's just no way I could ever forgive them for anything when they did such bad things. And when you forgive someone, does it really mean that you agree or support what their bad behavior may have been?
No, just the opposite. In fact, that's one of the primary reasons that people don't forgive also. It's because they think the other person will agree with them or that justice will not be served, etc. And forgiveness really doesn't have anything to do with that. That's the ego's way of keeping us from forgiving. It doesn't mean the person is not responsible for what they do. Forgiveness is forgiveness ultimately for our judgments about that person. The question is, are we here to love or are we here to judge? That doesn't mean we're permissive. That doesn't mean we agree with insane behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, supporting another, forgiveness doesn't mean supporting another person's insane behavior. That's pathology. It means, what do I do about the consciousness inside of me first? And then I ask for guidance. What do I need to think, say, and do about the situation? It might be to take very strong, clear action. Forgiveness is not passive.
But, you know, the question that we really need to ask ourselves is, when we're feeling that justified anger and murderous feelings, does that really bring you peace of mind? Mm. And I've never heard a person that would say yes to that question.
That's right.
And all of a sudden they say, well, if I really want peace of mind as my only goal, I better relook at what I'm doing because I'm hurting myself. And the essence of really forgiveness, when we're talking about forgiving another person, it really is about forgiving ourselves. And oftentimes what we see in another person is just a projection of something in ourselves. So if we're feeling guilty but we're not cognizant of that, we oftentimes project that out on another person. And all of a sudden that person becomes our enemy and the guilty one.
Now in your book, you write about how forgiveness means giving up all hopes for a better past. Explain that a little bit.
Well, it means that we can't really change the past that's happened. And it means also that if you will, that God is really not in the past, he's only in the present. So when we let go of the past, we can begin to find peace. When we hold on to past hurts, what happens is, John, they superimpose on the present. So it's very difficult to experience any kind of elements of peace in the moment. And all of a sudden, we believe in the world's belief system that the past is going to increase and it's going to be like the future. So all of a sudden, the past and the future become the same. So when we let go of the past and let go of the hurtful feelings of that and come in the present, then we can be fully conscious and our hearts can be purely giving love, which is the biggest gift we can give another person, is our inner peace and our unconditional love. And see the light in them. There's a one-liner we have in another book called A Mini Course for Life, and it goes like this. Whoever you might be upset about, you say whatever that person's name is, or say, let's say it was Bill. Bill, your light is all that I see, and it's but a reflection of the light in me. And when we do that, we find a sense of peace, because we're not looking at the costume that person's wearing. We're not looking at his lampshade, but we're just looking at the light, which is the really only true reality that each of us have, as being light beams.
Yes. Now, you know, you've talked about this before. It seems often that for adults and older individuals, it's harder to forgive. But why does it seem so easy for, like, young children to forgive?
Well, one of the reasons it's easy for children is because they don't see any value in holding on to it.
Ah.
The past, you know, they, you know, you have to see a value into holding on to a grievance. And if, you know, Johnny and Kenny are, you know, playing and they have a fight and they don't talk to each other, it's like, what fun is that, right? So kids will find a way to make up because they don't see any value in holding on to the grievance.
The other thing is to realize that young children, 5 years and under, they don't know the difference between yesterday and tomorrow. They cannot tell time. So they're living in a timeless moment without a past and future, and they're more apt to say why they're there is to experience joy and happiness and not take themselves so seriously. So we think it's important for all of us to keep an innocent child within ourselves and let go of our guilt, whatever guilt we had, let go of it and see it has no value, and be in the present with love, because love is really everything. So it's the answer to all the problems we'll ever face.
What all this boils down to, and you've said this many times, it's really, you know, changing your attitude towards things in life. And by doing that, you can change your life.
That's right. Your attitude is everything.
My mom's going to be 92, and her mantra in life is, your attitude is everything. People always say to her, how is it that you're so peaceful and you're always so pleasant to be around? And she reminded me at lunch today, she says, you know, people do the very best they can, and then they have to deal with it. I don't need to make their lives harder.
That's right.
She said, but I know for me, if I want to change something in my life, I need to change my attitude about that thing. She's really got it down.
Why don't you share about
that? She's aging with attitude.
About it doesn't matter, honey.
Oh, yeah, right. One day we were there, and her breakfast tray, you know, came in really quite late, et cetera, et cetera, and thinking that most people would be kind of upset about it, she looked at us and she said, you know, it doesn't really matter. That's her new mantra. It's like, what does, only few things matter. Love matters.
That's
you know,
right.
Faith matters. Most things don't matter. So now that's our new mantra. It doesn't really matter.
When you look at life in its fullness, you think a lot of these things, they're not really that big of a deal, are they?
They aren't. And my father used to say, 100 years from now, nobody will ever know the difference. And I think to myself now, you know, a month from now, nobody will not only know the difference, much less care. You know, these things are, we focus on what the ego says is important as opposed to our spiritual life, which is everything, because that's really who we are.
Yeah, Mother Teresa talked a lot about letting go, surrendering to love. And so it's about letting go of our control issues. You know, no one's ever found it very easy or successful at controlling their husbands or wives.
Although they keep trying. and you know, I really like to use something that we share with others a lot, and that is, you know, when I'm ready to make a judgment on something, you know, when I find myself becoming unsettled or unhappy, I say to myself, wait a minute, am I here to love or am I here to judge? Because, you know, how you answer that question is how you will live your life. And at a core level, do I really believe I deserve the right to be happy? Is God's inheritance from me happiness? That doesn't mean it's somebody else's expense, but it means a joy-filled life full of caring for others and service. And those core questions really are how we are actually making decisions anyway. We're just now clarifying the questions for people.
Another aspect of attitudinal healing I'd like to mention is rather than choosing to see someone is attacking you so that you then can be defensive and attack back, we choose to see people with either two emotions. Either they're loving, and lots of times people don't appear to be loving. If they're not loving, then we say to ourselves, that person is fearful and giving up help for love. So all of a sudden, our heart can open up to a situation whereas before we were angry and attacking.
You know, you talk often that sometimes we talk about forgiving others, but sometimes it's very hard to forgive ourselves. And kind of closing here, maybe both of you can share back as you look back on your lives, what are the hardest things you forgave yourself about?
Well, I know right at the top of the list, mine, when Jerry is writing the book Goodbye to Guilt, which is a marvelous book, he was asking everyone back in the early 80s what they felt most guilty about. And when he asked me, at first nothing came up, but then what came up shocked me completely. I come from a family where my father, while he was a loving person, he also was violent within the family, what we call today domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an unhealed relationship with him, and he died when I was 19. Anyway, Jerry asked me this question when I was 34, and what came out of my mouth stunned me and also changed my life. And I said, what I felt most guilty about was wanting my father to be someone other than who he was. So my forgiveness journey was the journey of accepting my father as he was, loving him the way that he was, not condoning what he did,
yes,
but loving him as he was and loving him as a teacher for me and healing my own heart and my own mind. And by forgiving myself, that was the biggest change in my life, as I can recall. Jerry, how about you? What would you say?
I would say the most difficult time I had was during my first marriage after the divorce, where we did a lot of fighting and a lot of arguing, and that was the most difficult thing for me to forgive myself for. My part in it was, and you know, at the time this was happening, it was all her fault, not mine. And I would say that, and it was fascinating. As time went on, we became dear friends. My ex-wife got married again, invited us to the wedding and invited us to take a photo. We do a lot of amateur photography, so she invited us to do the photography at her wedding. I remember that one time we were crossing the street at Christmas time when we were seeing our grandkids.
Yes, we used to go in on different days to see our grandkids at Christmas time, and then when she was ailing, we invited her to come with us, and so we'd go in, and one day we were crossing Big Market Street in San Francisco, and she was on Jerry's arm on one side, and I was the other, and she goes, "Boy, people should see this. This forgiveness thing really works."
Wow.
That was very cute. Yeah, it was really sweet. We'll never forget that moment. She died not too long after that, you know.
We've come to the end here, and I just want to mention that there's no question that forgiveness plays an important role in our health and our longevity and having that peace of mind that, Jerry, you talk about. I want to mention again, the name of the book is Forgiveness, the Greatest Healer of All. And we'll make it available also through our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. And also, for those that want to learn more about forgiveness and your concepts of attitudinal healing, where can they go?
They can go to www.ah, for attitudinal healing, ahinternational.org.
And congratulations, John, on your program. I'm so glad that you're doing this and helping other people. And it's a pleasure being on today.
Well, thank you so much. I love you both, and keep up the great work in helping people discover a better way of life.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for doing. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And I want to mention that Dr. Jerry Jampolsky is a leader in the field of mind-body medicine and received one of the American Medical Association's highest awards in its Excellence in Medicine Awards program. I also want to highly recommend Dr. Jampolsky's book, Forgiveness, the Greatest Healer of All. It's really one of the best books ever written on the topic of forgiveness. And if you want to get a copy, I recommend going to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com to obtain a copy.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for today's program. Until next week, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.